Well, this morning I want to start by saying it's good to be back with my G Church family and being around a bunch of people that speak my language. I didn't learn much Spanish, but, I got really good at saying these two words, ¿habla inglés? And if the answer was no, I didn't even waste my time. I was just looking for people that spoke a little bit of English, and we were able to get by. And my wife and I had a great, for 30 days in a foreign nation, I had to live with the mouth. Yeah. Anyway, I love the mouth. I love the mouth. I love her boldness. I love her passion. And I know it's for a good cause. Amen. And I think it blesses the Lord when she's passionate about the things that he's passionate about. So I want to say thank you to our leadership team who, our church is really blessed to have great leaders that can just carry on without the senior leaders being here. I love that. And I want to say thank you to all the speakers that spoke in my absence. David Joyner, I don't know, is David here this morning? David? Maybe he's coming second service. Or David, if you're watching online, thank you, buddy. And then Christina Bell, I think they're, are they here? Christina, are you up in the booth? Thank you, Christina, did a wonderful job. Divine interruptions. Sometimes we get interrupted and it's God interrupting us and we get mad. Be careful. He might be saving you from something worse, amen? And then Pastor David Vestal, and then from the Gateway Network, and then my daughter, Pastor Jacqueline Foster. I think Jacqueline did probably one of her best messages ever because it's something that's near and dear to her heart. And so, but I'm here this morning, and you know, it's Thanksgiving month. Who can believe that it's already November? I mean, I was thinking about that this week. It seemed like 3 or 4 months ago we were undecking the halls. Where did the year go? And here it's getting ready to happen again. And so today I want to talk about something that I think is appropriate for the month of November. I know it's something that's near and dear to God's heart, and that is gratitude and thanksgiving. I try my best throughout the year to show appreciation to people. I know one of the motivators of me serving the Lord is through what he's already done in my life, so it's out of gratitude. But I think as a whole, we could all maybe step our game up when it comes to saying thank you, but also showing our thanks, showing our gratitude. And so this morning I want to share a message that I've titled, How God Blesses a Grateful Heart. There's over 400 scriptures in the Bible that talk about gratitude and thanksgiving. And you could probably, from all 400 verses, extract two foundational truths. And that is, number one, God wants, it's his desire that our motivation, our foundational motivation for living life every day, the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do is based on an attitude of gratitude. And then the second one is, throughout these scriptures, he says it time and time again, he blesses those who do. And so today I want to talk about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. And thank you for what you're going to continue to do in our lives as we draw closer to you. I pray that you would open up our ears to hear and our heart to receive what you have to show us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, that's in the Old Testament towards the front of your Bible. Who knows the first five books of the Bible? Genesis. Deuteronomy is the fifth book. It's towards the front of your Bible, chapter 28. And then a second verse, 1 Thessalonians, that's towards the other end of your Bible. There's five books that all start with T. Just get in that section and look for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In this first passage, God reveals the importance of obedience and the blessing that comes when we obey his commands. Here's what it says starting in verse 1. That first word, say it with me. What's the first word? Say it again. If. It's a big if. Watch this. If you fully obey the Lord your God, and let's say it again, if you carefully follow all his commands, then all of these blessings will be yours. And then he lists the blessings. The Lord will bless you in the city and in the country. He will bless your children, as well as blessing your crops and livestock. The Lord will bless your harvest and the food you prepare. The Lord will bless you wherever you go. The Lord will even defeat your enemies when they attack you. Who knows? That's a blessing. And yes, the Lord will send his blessing on all you put your hand to and bless everything you do. Who likes the sound of that passage? But there's a premise to that promise. It's the word if. If we do our part. And what's our part? If we obey the Lord in all that he's commanded us to do. It's a big if. I'm wondering if the reason you might be sitting here this morning going, well, he's not blessing me. I just wonder if it might have something to do with the if you obey. You might take that to the Lord and have a conversation with him today or this week. Lord, is my if I obey the reason I'm not being blessed? And he might show you some area of your life where you're living in disobedience, and he might be waiting for you to change that before he releases blessings. Parents, any parents? Come on, we got a lot of parents in our church. We want our kids to obey us because we want to bless them when they do. But if you bless them before they do, you're not helping them. And I think we're made in the image of God. I think God's that way with us. So his blessings are conditional. His love is unconditional. He loved, like we love our kids when they disobey or not. We love them anyway. That's God towards us. But his blessings are conditional on our obedience. And then we go to the second passage that talks about what God's commanded us regarding gratitude. And this word gratitude is more than just saying thank you from time to time. It's really a mindset. It's an attitude. In fact, here's a sticky statement you can write down and tweet out today or take a picture of. Gratitude is a constant mindset of thankfulness. Constant, daily. It's a daily mindset where you wake up every day, you're going to put on your, not your thinking cap, you're going to put on your thinking cap. Just put it on, and I'm going to be thankful throughout the day, good or bad or indifferent. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to look for ways to be thankful no matter what my circumstances are today, and then I'm going to find a way to show it. Let's read this second verse together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ready? Always be what? Thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That would be a great verse to memorize this month. Put it on your dashboard, put it on your mirror, and just read it every day before you go off to work. Always be thankful. Always. In all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. Always in all circumstances. That about covers everything, doesn't it? I don't see any exceptions. I don't see any loopholes. I don't see where it says, except when this happens, then I'll give you a pass. It's all the time. He wants us to be thankful. God says, if you do that, I'll bless your life. In fact, Paul says it's God's will for us to be this way. You know, once a man was robbed, and he told his friends about the event. And he said, you know, I'm really thankful that I got robbed today. And they go, what? Remember I told a story not long ago? How can you be thankful? You just got robbed. He said, well, first of all, it was the first time I've been robbed. And I'm 50-something years old. I mean, think of all the other times I could have been robbed that I wasn't robbed. God protected me. I mean, I'm really thankful that this is the first time it's happened. And he said, I'm also thankful because all they took was my wallet, not my life. I mean, they could have killed me. They just took my wallet. And the third thing I'm thankful about is they took my whole wallet. They took everything I had, but it wasn't very much. Some of you are complaining that you don't have very much or make very much. be thankful, because if you ever got robbed, they're not going to take much. Now, would you help me? Is that just a different way of looking at a circumstance? That normally most of us would look at it in a totally different way. I like what Jacqueline said. It's the angle. It's the angle. I want to have this guy's angle the next time something bad happens so I can find something good in it and give thanks anyway. God says he'll bless my life if I do. Now, because of time, I had seven physical and mental benefits of gratitude that I'm not going to share with you today, but I will put, Christina, if you could go to the final, there's all seven right there. I'll let you take a snapshot of it. Gratitude opens the door to more and better relationships. This is from Psychology Today. I don't recommend reading that all the time, but I'm just letting you know the medical community, the scientific community, is in agreement with God's word that gratitude can help you physically and mentally. Gratitude improves physical health. It improves psychological health. It enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people sleep better. Hello. Who would like to sleep better? Well, start being thankful. Gratitude improves self-esteem. And gratitude increases mental strength. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of PTSD. I know when I went through a depression, I've been through a season of depression twice in my life. I remember the first time, it was actually on Jacqueline's 11th birthday. And the way I came out of it was I had a pastor from my church come and visit me, and he spent some hours with me, and he prompted me to start giving thanks for the things that were good in my life. And as I began to give thanks, and it was a daily habit, and in about 2 or 3 days, as I was expressing with my mouth, I didn't feel like doing it, but I obeyed. I did it with my mouth. The depression lifted and left. And so I know firsthand this works. If you struggle with depression, why don't you just sit down and make a list of things that you should be thankful for and begin to give God thanks for those things and just see if it doesn't lighten the load a little bit. Amen? Now, here's what I know about gratitude. Most people like to hear the words thank you. I've never had somebody get mad at me for telling them thank you. I have had them get mad for not saying it, but I've never had somebody get mad for saying thank you. But I also know this. They like to be shown thank you more than just hearing it. Sometimes saying it is not enough. You need to spray it. You need to tell it. You need to say it and show it is what I'm saying. A great example of this is in Luke 17. You've heard the story of the 10 lepers. 10 guys with leprosy, they crossed paths with Jesus. They called out to Jesus for help, for healing. Jesus healed them, and then they left. And in verse 15, here's what it says. Now, one of them, say one of them. How many were there? How many were there? There were 10. But now one of them, we'll get to the other 9 in a minute. Now one of them, when he saw that he'd been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. They point that out because a Samaritan in that day was an outcast. He was the one that wasn't expected to give thanks, but he did. And then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, talking about the other 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? It's a very clear analogy of some truths about gratitude and God's expectation. I believe it's an expectation. Jesus made a point about, where are the other 9? He noticed the one who wasn't expected to give thanks, but did. It sounds like the other 9, he kind of expected them, but they didn't. And before we jump on those 9, I just wonder, We're that way, aren't we? Aren't we like the nine sometimes? When we pray and ask for help, God helps us, and then we get busy again, and we don't really show our gratitude. It's not that we're not grateful. It doesn't say the nine were not grateful. It just made a distinction between the one that came and showed it versus the nine that didn't evidently show it. So I'm not saying anybody's not thankful for what God's done. I'm just saying, or I'm asking you to think about your own life. Are you really good at showing your gratitude like this one leper? So four ways, moving forward with this message today, four ways we can show our gratitude. You've heard the phrase, action speaks louder than words. I think there's a difference between being thankful. A step up from that would be saying thank you, but I think a step up and above from that is showing it, finding a way to show your gratitude. And normally I would say, why don't we focus on that this month, Thanksgiving month? But then I would say, then December, what? What if we just decided to make it a lifestyle change and we find a way to incorporate this, put on our thanking cap every day, and live out this message that God is giving to us today? So here's number one. Here's the first way you can show gratitude, and that's by praising. These are one-word takeaways, praising. And they don't all start with P. I let you down today. I'm sorry. Praising. But I believe they all end in ing, so give me some credit. Praising. Psalm 147:7 says, sing out your thanks to him, sing praises to God. Sing praises to God. Now, every week we start worship at 9. I just wonder for those that think, well, praising is like pregame warm-ups. Not to God. I just wonder if you forget that God loves for you to be here at the first song to give him all the praise he deserves. It may not do much for you, but according to his word, it does wonders for him. And I think he expects it. I wonder if we could be in that parable of the 10 Christians and one showed up at 9 for worship and 9 came in on the third song. I'm just wondering if he might say, well, where's the rest of the church? Well, we're having our coffee. We're fellowshipping. That's a value. I know, but I think you should come at 10 till the hour to fellowship and be here on the hour to praise me. But Pastor Bob, I can't sing. That's okay. Sing anyway. Make a joyful noise. But God loves it. He deserves it. Amen. Number two, serving. Hebrews 12:28. Let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. You know, when you think about serving, it's a form of giving. Do you see it as an obligation or an opportunity? Here's what an obligation sounds like. Honey, we've got to be at church this week. We're on the schedule to serve. And I'll take that. But I wonder if God would desire for us to say, hey, guess what? This week is our week to serve. I can hardly wait. Because of who we're serving. And it ain't church leaders. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's people that he died for. We come to serve God and we come to serve others. Amen. And I'm just wondering if our service is a reflection of our gratitude or not. Think about that. You know, because of what Jesus did in my life, I left my former way of making a living to serve him. And I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, but the motivation of my heart was, because of what he's done for me, I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life. And with that, serve people. And from time to time, I have people speak into my life that said, how long are you going to do that? And I'll say, I think until I die. And anytime I start thinking about something different, the Lord, you told me you were my man. You told me you were going to do this till you die. Yes, Lord. I think the right perspective is to look at serving as an opportunity to show gratitude to God for what he's already done for you. Jesus, how did he serve? To death. Right? I don't think you've been asked to be nailed to a cross on any given Sunday. You've just been asked to spend 2 hours of your life this week showing gratitude to God. I'm just wondering if a new paradigm might be in order for those that struggle with this whole idea of serving, right? Or praising. It should be a want to, not a have to. Number three, giving. Giving. Psalm 50:14 says, give an offering to show thanks to God. Watch this. Give to show. Give to show. Well, God knows I love him. Well, then give to show that you do. I'm stepping on some feet right now. I hope it feels good. Put your money where your mouth is. I love God. Got the fish on my car. Got the cross around my neck. Yeah, but what are you giving him to show that, number one, you trust him, but number two, that you're grateful for what he's given you? Give to say thank you. In fact, I think it's God's idea that thanks and giving, thanksgiving, go hand in hand. And so what does your giving tell God about your gratitude for what he's doing and what he's already done in your life? In fact, there's a scripture, it's just coming to me right now. I didn't have time to find the address of it, but he says in the New Testament, I think it's Paul that says, give in proportion to what God's done for you. Well, that's not zero. That's not zero. We're coming up to the end of the year. I'm hoping that no member has a zero on their giving statement. Some can give more than others. I realize that. But you can give something for what God's done. Amen? You got 2 months to figure that out. And then fourth, by telling. By telling. Isaiah 12:4 says, thank the Lord, praise his name. That's one way you can tell him. But then tell the world. Tell the world of his wondrous love and how mighty he is. That's why he wants us to share our testimony. He wants us to brag on him. When's the last time you bragged on God? When's the last time you bragged on Jesus for saving you and giving you eternal life? Parents, you like to brag on your kids, don't you? And don't you love it when your kids brag on you? God's no different. God wants us to brag on him. I walked into the, Tammy and I played golf yesterday. We shot an 88. That's pretty good for two old people that don't play much. Now, we played best ball, but that's still good. Even playing, David, that's still good for playing best ball with two old hacks like us, 88. Now, we skipped two holes. I didn't count those because we could have birdied those. I didn't count them. But when I arrived at the golf course, I noticed there was a young man. There was a young man and an old man behind the counter. And the day before, the young man, I think it was him that took my reservation. He was so kind and so nice. And worked out a schedule for us. And so when I showed up, I said, were you the guy that I talked to? He goes, yeah. I said, well, I want you to know. I did this for him, but I also did it in front of his manager. I said, I want you to know, sir, I want you to know, this young guy right here was the nicest, best person I've ever, when I've called golf courses to get a green fee, this guy was so nice and helpful and friendly, and he accommodated our schedule. I just wanted him to hear me say thank you, but I wanted you to hear that too. I hope it blessed that kid. I hope he went home going, oh man, somebody recognized me, but he also let the guy that signs my paycheck know too. We like it when people tell on us and tell good things about us. God's no different. One of the best ways to tell others is when things aren't going so well. When you've lost your job, when you've gotten a bad report, when your world is falling apart and you're still able to praise God and serve God and give to God and tell others about how good God is. That is a tremendous witness. It's easy to do those things when things are just going great. But what about when things aren't? Can you still be thankful? If you would bow your heads, what do you hear God saying to you this morning? Not only does Jesus love me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, but he also showed me that he loved me when he hung on the cross and died for my sinfulness. How about you? You might be good at telling God you love him. You might be good at telling God thank you for what he's done in your life, but are you good at showing it? If I could challenge you today, I would say maybe assess where you are in these four areas that I've shared with you today: praising, serving, giving, and telling others. Is there maybe an area that you could up your game on? Maybe get better at? And for some of you, you're already doing a fantastic job. Just keep it up, knowing that the Lord loves it. And I believe that he expects it. And when he expects it, because he deserves it, and we do it, that's why he says, I will bless you. In the same way that when our kids do what we expect them to do, they do it with a right heart, we bless them. And that's how the Lord feels about us. And that's what he wants to do when we give him the gratitude that he deserves. As Christians, we all have that to be thankful for, the fact that we're saved. That means every day we have something to be thankful for. And I think all of us would agree that God should be at the top of our list. Amen. God, thank you for reminding us of the importance of gratitude, not only to you, but to others in our life. I pray that we'll be better at putting on our thanking caps every day and have the mindset, have the attitude of gratitude. Whether we're in good times or bad times, we'll always look at the glass half full, not half empty. We'll always have a positive attitude. We can find something good in every situation to be thankful for. Help us to think differently that way. If you're saved, you know that you have something big to be thankful for. Maybe someone here today watching online, you're not saved. And so you don't look at things the way I do because I'm saved. I know what he's done for me, and he wants to do the same thing for you if you'll let him. So I want to end this service by giving everybody an opportunity to call on the name of the Lord for salvation. The Bible says if you'll ask, you will receive. Not maybe, not let me think about it. No, God is waiting. His son Jesus died for you to be saved. Just say this prayer with me if that's you. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sinfulness and making it possible for me to be saved. Today I receive your offer. I acknowledge that you are the Son of God, that you lived a perfect life and died a perfect death so that I could live forever. I don't understand all that, but I'd be a fool to reject it. And so I receive your grace gift today for my own life. I receive your gift of salvation. And I say, thank you. But starting today, I'm going to find ways to show my thankfulness. I'm going to live the rest of my life for you, giving you the glory and the gratitude you deserve. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this last song from a heart of gratitude. Let's just sing our hearts out. If you sing bad, sing louder. And that'll help somebody next to you practice what I preached today. And then we're going to baptize a member of our church here at the very end. Amen. All right, let's sing.